History is a story of man's repeated rebellion against a sovereign God. We don't have a very good track record. So how does a holy God respond to such a sinful people? Find out today as we spend 10 minutes in Genesis.
There's a tendency for us to become overwhelmed by the culture we live in. It's natural for us to want to fit in and be liked. The danger comes when fitting in causes us to compromise our biblical beliefs in favor of the ways of our culture. In today's program, Randall McElwain, professor at Hope Sound Bible College, will teach us in Faith by the Book how standing for godliness will, at some point, contrast with the culture we live in. Let's listen to Randall as he teaches us how to make choices to follow true biblical principles.
In our last time together, we saw the story of creation. We saw that humanity has tremendous value because we are created by a loving God. We also saw the terrible results of our rebellion against God. After the fall, man grew increasingly wicked until Genesis tells us the thoughts of his heart were continually evil. As a result, God destroyed humanity with a flood, sparing only Noah and his family. Noah was spared because of his obedience to God. Through Noah's family, God repopulated the earth. It was not very long, however, until man began to rebel against God again. The story of the Tower of Babel is another story of man's rebellion and pride. Man set out to build a tower to reach to heaven. He wanted to take God's rightful place as ruler. At that point, God could have simply destroyed us and started again. Justice would have been served if God had done nothing to rescue us from our sin. Instead, God offered a way of redemption. Along with justice, he demonstrated his incredible grace. Grace is defined by theologians as God's undeserved favor shown to humankind. It is something that we do not earn by our goodness. It is something that we do not deserve. It is the free gift of a loving God. God shows his grace to us in spite of our sin, in spite of our unworthiness. In the middle section of Genesis, we see the story of God's grace as he works through a man by the name of Abraham to redeem the human race. Abraham and his descendants were chosen by God for a special purpose. They were chosen to be the family tree of the Messiah, the family tree of the one who would come to redeem us from our sin. In Genesis, God makes this incredible promise to Abraham. Listen to what he says. Go from your country and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Then God said, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What a promise. It's a promise that Abraham's descendants will become a great nation, that Abraham will be given the land of Canaan, and that Abraham will become a great name, that he will have fame and renown. But the even greater promise is that through the blessing on Abraham, all nations, the entire world, will be blessed. Later in Scripture, we will see that the entire world is blessed through Abraham's descendants, especially Jesus the Messiah. At the dedication of the baby Jesus, Simeon recognized Jesus as the salvation that God prepared for all people. Through Jesus, all families of the earth are blessed. In the New Testament, Paul points back to the story of the fall when he writes, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. Paul tells us that death spread to all men because of Adam's sin. He then gives us this promise. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Understand what he's telling us. Through one man, Adam, death came to all men. Through one man, Jesus Christ, life comes to all men. Genesis 12 gives us the beginning of this story of life coming to all people. It's the story of redemption. God chose Abraham and said, "Through you and your descendants, I will bless all nations." God calls Abraham. He gives him this promise. And Abraham believed God. How do we know? Because Abraham obeyed. Abraham and his wife Sarah traveled about 1,800 kilometers from Ur to Haran and then to Canaan, the land of promise. Abraham's obedience shows his faith in a God that he could not see. It shows his trust in God's promise. Now, as we read through Genesis, we soon see a problem. Abraham reaches old age without a son. He's been told that he'll be the father of a nation, and he doesn't even have a son. From a human standpoint, it would appear that God has forgotten his promise, or worse, that he's playing a cruel joke on a confused old man. But Abraham does not give up on God's promise. Finally, Abraham is 99 years old, and I should mention Sarah is 89 years old, when God appears to Abraham and says, "I'm going to give you a son." A year later, Isaac is born, truly a miracle child. God's promise is fulfilled. The immediate promise to Abraham, "I will give you a son," was fulfilled. And the ultimate promise, "I will bless all nations through you," was fulfilled through Isaac's descendants. The story of Abraham is an important one that teaches us two lessons. One is the wonderful message of God's grace. You see, after we rebelled, after we turned against God, he could have abandoned us. He could have left us in our sin. But instead, because of God's love, he provided a way of salvation. Through grace, God provided a way by which sinful man could be restored to fellowship with a holy God. Amazingly, he accomplished this not by working around us, by bringing some sort of redemption from outer space, but he worked through humankind. He worked through the very human race that had sinned against him to bring salvation. The other lesson that we see in the story of Abraham is faith. Abraham believed God, even for a promise that was so incredible that he would have had good reason to say, "That can never be." The promise of a son born to an elderly man who is married to an elderly wife seems unbelievable. And yet God had promised it, and so Abraham never gave up on it. God's blessing on Abraham came not because Abraham deserved it, not because Abraham was a particularly good person. His blessing came because Abraham had faith in God's promises. The Bible says that because Abraham believed God, God counted it as righteousness. In other words, in God's account book, Abraham's faith was registered as righteousness. Abraham saw God's promises fulfilled because of his faith in what God said. The message of Abraham speaks to us today. It says that you and I can trust God. We can believe his promises. God says, "If you confess your sins, I will forgive your sins." That is a promise that we can believe. We can live in confidence that as we obey God in faith, he will do what he has promised to do. I encourage you to read God's word and trust his promises. You may be amazed at what God will do in your life.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to today's message and hope that you'll come back and listen again on this same station. This program has been a production of Live Hope and Sound Broadcasting.